let me finish what I was saying about how does it benefit us having William Jessup in our backyard. Yeah. We have Rose. I was in the Air Force in 2004. I was in active duty, and I was looking at going into ministry. And I had a lot of college credits, but no degree. In fact, I had my commander said, "Steve, you have a lot of college credits. Why don't you have a degree?" And so I started looking at William Jessup University because I wanted a Christian education. And so I went to William Jessup. What they had at the time was a degree completion program. And I went there every Tuesday for 2 years. I met 4 hours with teachers in my cohort, who I am still in contact with, every one of them. It was a great experience for me. And it opened my eyes to a whole lot of things. And I'm very thankful for the education that I got at William Jessup University. And I got my bachelor's degree there. And so I'm very thankful. And I'm an alumni. So I have a lot to like about William Jessup University.
Amen.
And so it does me a lot of, it makes me very proud to have Jim here. And I met Jim, and other than, I'll let him explain who he is, because, you know, he's got some kind of relation to the school. I'm not sure what that is.
That's right.
With his last name being Jessup. But I know he reaches out to pastors in the community. And when I first came here, Jim was one of the first guys in this community that reached out to me and said, "We got to go have lunch." Do you remember? And he brought me a t-shirt and took me to lunch. So we're friends right there off the bat. And but Jim has always been a supporter. And anything I've asked him, he's brought classes in here to ask questions about how small churches work. And so we've had kind of a partnership that's been kind of working over the last few years. And he's got to kind of watch our church evolve as it has over the last 5 years. So without any more, this is Jim Jessup.
Steve, thank you, brother. Sure appreciate you, man. It has been great getting to know you and the friendship that we have developed, I tell you what. Hey, you know what I want to do real quick? Hecla, come back up here for just a second. And Rose, I'm going to embarrass you for a second. Come here, Rose. Come on, they all love you. Come on up here real quick. Now, see, I was going to bring my band today, okay? But my band had a schedule conflict, and I couldn't bring the whole band. I wanted them to play for you. And so I was in the cafeteria, and Hecla was sitting just down the way, and I thought, she plays a guitar and has a beautiful voice. I said, "Hecla, would you come and do a few songs?" She didn't have a clue what she was getting into this morning, you know? And so she shows up. She even sits through Sunday school because she did the little practicing here, and then they roped her into going into Sunday school. She comes up here. Hecla, your mama is Icelandic, is that right? I love her name. Isn't that awesome? Hecla. You know, see, I call people on the phone. I say, "This is Jim." They go, "Jim who?" Right? Because there's 50 million Jims out there. I love her name. Now tell them real quick what you're going to go and do. What's your major and what you're going to go and do?
My major is business marketing. I'm currently a junior. And after Jessup, I'd like to go to Sweden and do a master's program over at a university called Uppsala University. And I basically have an idea for a missions organization that is nonprofit, and we would basically, I play soccer also at Jessup, and we would basically be donating cleats to people in third world countries who don't necessarily have the things that we have and the amenities that we have. And it would just be a tool to bring them to Christ, share the love of Christ, and also provide them something that they can use. So
that's awesome, Hecla. Thank you. And then this week, I'm standing in line in the cafeteria. I'm in the cafeteria a lot, Steve. You ought to come over and eat with me, I guess. But I'm standing in line, and this young lady turns around. I didn't even know Rose very well yet, because I'll tell you, we got a lot of students now. It's neat. But she turns around, and she goes, "You're going to be at my church next Sunday." I said, "Really? What church? You go to First Baptist in Rockland? Because that's where I'm preaching." She goes, "Yeah, that's where I'm at, and I'm helping with the kids here." Tell them what your major is, and tell them what you hope to do real quick, Rose.
Hi, everybody. I'm a teaching or a liberal studies major at William Jessup University. Pretty much I figured I have to do something with kids. I don't care really what it is, I have to do something with kids. So my hope now is to get to go to Japan and teach there for a couple years when
awesome.
I eventually get my degree.
Awesome. That's great. Would you thank these two for helping out? Thanks, Hecla.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Rose.
It is so exciting to work with students at this age, you know, the 18 to 22-year-olds. And I see a whole bunch of other William Jessup students, I think. I'm just saying you ought to consider it, okay, because I know you could be there, you know, some of you. I see some probably in college already working, I don't know, some high school. All right. Love to have you come over there and check us out, okay, because here's what Steve means by the partnership that we have just started. And here's what I want you to want to do this morning. I'm going to share with you a little bit about the college, but not a whole lot, just a little, because this is worship. This is about God and His Word, and so I don't want it to be a commercial. Amen? At least two or three of you? Okay. But I do want you to rejoice at what God is doing, because there are young people that are going to go and change the world. And I'm excited about what they are doing. And now I'm so excited about the fact that you're in partnership to help make that happen. So here's what happens. The partnership that you give some money each month to the scholarship fund, okay, that helps students because, you know, we don't receive funds from the government. Students can still get Cal Grant, Pell Grant, those types of things, but we don't have the government telling us what to teach, amen, which is really nice. And so we're able to integrate the Bible with all the other subjects, just like Rose is doing the teacher credential for the state of California. Okay, that's what she meant when she said her degree and business, right? But we have also pastoral degrees, Christian leadership, like Steve went through, missionary, intercultural studies, all of these different programs, studying the Word of God and integrating that with their subject. Now, if they come from First Baptist Church of Rockland now, as of about 3 months ago, if your student comes out of here, I'm talking to you guys real quick, you get an automatic $2,000 scholarship on top of all the other scholarship monies that would be available to you. Or any adults who would want to come to the degree completion program that Steve went through. And it can go up to $8,000. And the reason we do that is because we want you to know we are on your side, guys. We want this church to grow and to thrive. And if students come and you learn a little bit more about God's Word with whatever subject you want to do, if it's business or public policy, law degree, that type of stuff, or education, or if it's ministry, being a pastor or a youth pastor, that maybe you'd come back and you'd serve here right along with Steve, and this church would continue to be a light unto this community. Does that sound good? Isn't that neat? So I'm excited about that, yeah. And there are now about 75 churches, and the Southern Baptist churches, amen, is growing in our partnership, okay? You guys are number two. First Baptist Church in Fair Oaks, Southern Baptist Church, and they joined up about a year ago. And so it's been so exciting, and I really appreciate it. We're a non-denominational college, so we have backgrounds of all Christ-centered, Bible-believing, God-fearing churches believing in what we're doing, and it's awesome to be a part of. So let me tell you a little about the college really quick. William Jessup was my grandpa, and in 1939, he started San Jose Bible College. He wasn't arrogant to name it after himself. Okay, he started a college and called it San Jose Bible College because you don't name things after you when you're still alive anyways. You could mess up. Amen? Yeah. So Grandpa named the school San Jose Bible College in 1939. Here's a picture in 1946. And my grandma and grandpa are circled in that little red circle that you can see there. They had a great thing going, preparing pastors and leaders for ministry. April 12, 1992, my father and my grandfather, William Jessup, and I were asked to speak at a church in Morgan Hill, California, just south of San Jose. We were to talk about passing on your faith to your kids. And we had done this a few times. I would share, my grandpa would share, my dad would share. Grandpa went first this time. He was 86 years old. I was about 26. Grandpa finished and he sat down on the right-hand side. He did about a 15-minute sermon, did a great job. I got up, I began to share my message. The plan was my father would finish after me. I got halfway through my talk and my wife yells out at me, "Jim." Normally she doesn't do that when I'm preaching, unless it's really bad. No. I looked down and she was holding my grandfather. His head had gone back, his mouth open, and he had a heart attack. April 12, 1992, he went on to be with the Lord. I didn't get to finish that sermon. I jumped down. We moved the chairs. We began CPR. I did the mouth-to-mouth, and there was a Boy Scout leader in the audience. He did the compressions, and he was pronounced dead that evening. No one has died since while I have been preaching. Okay? All right, so keep breathing. Y'all got real serious there for a minute. But his heart, his desire was that we would learn the gifts that God's put within us. We'd study his word, and then we would use those gifts in love with his grace. And so he started San Jose Bible College many, many years ago. Well, we were able to move the college up here to Rockland in 2004. We opened our doors, and many of you have been by the campus, I bet, huh? Have you all seen it from Sunset and 65? I've got to say, by the way, how wonderful it was to be able to sleep in a little bit this morning, coming to you. I preach almost every Sunday somewhere in different churches, partner churches and things, and sometimes I have to drive all the way to like Fresno or Redding, and I get up really early. It was awesome to go about three blocks. It was really nice. So thank you for having me, Steve. It's been great to be able to be with you. So there's the campus from the sky. It was the Herman Miller Furniture Factory. We didn't build those big warehouses. We wouldn't have built all those big steel buildings that you see, but we renovated the insides. How many of you have been on campus? Wonderful. Fantastic. You are welcome. The campus is open. Come walk around. Check it out. Use the library if you'd like. You're welcome there. Here's the student body, the daytime student body this fall. We took a picture. We now have 936 students. God is continuing to bless. In fact, we have so many students, we have about 50 of them living in the Staybridge Hotel. Our dorms are totally full. Our apartments are totally full. So yeah, 50 students. We took out the queen beds and put in bunk beds. The hotel loves it. Our students, they're starting to get a little tired, I think, of the commuting in. But God's blessing, we're continuing to grow. We've got, here's where it kind of looks. As you walk around campus, you can see where we tore the roof off of some of the warehouses and built the buildings inside. The new apartment complex, 2 years after we built that, it's full. And so it holds 193 beds, and we're going to have to build another one of those down the road. All the programs, I mentioned some of them to you. I brought a little display out there. You're welcome to take a newsletter home, read more of what's happening. But folks, we love you, and we want students to come and learn to be able to increase the church. God's coming back someday for his church, amen? Not for William Jessup University. We're here to help you guys. We're here to support you and to be resources for you. Great athletic teams, they go out and they champion Christ through sport. That is our motto, to champion Christ through sport. And even when we played Sacramento State University last year, I didn't catch this year's game. I went out to Sac State to watch our guys play. We got beat. Not bad, though. 6 points is all. Close game. Our guys, when the game was over, I said to myself, I wonder if they'll do it. I just sat in the stands and waited. Sure enough, they got up. They walked over to the other bench. They said, would you pray with us? The entire Sac State team went out to the center court and prayed with our guys. Isn't that awesome? Now, had we beaten them, I don't know if they'd have prayed with us. You know what I mean? But that's okay. What a great opportunity to champion Christ through the sports. Mission trips, all kinds of opportunities to go on mission trips. Love that picture up on the right-hand side. Hecla and Rose might know him. His name is Oliver. If you see the redhead kid, the only redhead kid in India that summer probably, taught him how to surf. He's from San Diego, and he taught him how to surf and taught him about the Lord while he was there. 146 graduates this last May. It'll be bigger even this May, every year, continuing to get bigger as these students go out to change the very landscape of eternity. But this is why I'm here and why I'm so appreciative of Steve and the leaders of this congregation catching the vision of our mission, and that is that in partnership with the church. See, we don't want to become a college sitting off over there saying we know what we're doing and we don't want anything to do with you guys. That's not who we are. My grandfather founded this to encourage, to uphold, and to resource the church, to be a training arm and a support to the church. So in partnership with the church, our purpose is to prepare Christians for leadership and service. So thank you so much for the partnership, guys. And I hope you know that you're welcome there anytime. You want to come check up on us? Give me a call. I'll walk you around. All right? I'll introduce you to some great students like Hecla and Rose and others. And we appreciate your prayers. Let me challenge you a little bit now. God's word. Out of Daniel chapter 3. Ooh, I like the nice little picture, Josh. Good choice. Can I click it again? All right, I'll wait for you to set me up, buddy. Daniel chapter 3. There's two words that I want to have you go home with today. Two words, and that's my whole message, is these two words. Of course, I got a lot of things to say about those two words, but I'll make it quick, okay? In fact, as King Henry VIII said to his fourth wife, I won't keep you long. Sorry, bad joke. Okay. That was good, wasn't it? Steve's already saying, I am not going to have this guy back, you know? Okay. Steve, they do like to laugh, it looks like. Great, brother. Thank you. Daniel chapter 3, two words, even if. Let me tell you the story. These three guys, their names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Who am I talking about? Yeah. But see, we don't, how many of you knew those names? Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Did you know that was their real names? Yeah. You know, they had Hebrew names, the names that reflected God, because they worshiped the same God that you and I sang to this morning when Hecla was singing those songs. The same God. But when King Nebuchadnezzar took them from their homeland over to what is now modern-day Iraq, by the way, took them to Babylon, he changed their names. So Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael became Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three guys worshipped our God, the God we believe in, the God that brings you here this morning. But they're brought in before the king, and in Daniel chapter 3, the king says to them, you're going to bow to this idol that has been erected, or I am going to throw you into the furnace. I'm going to kill you. Most of you know the story if you've been a part of the church for very long. If you haven't, oh, you ought to read the story. Let me paraphrase really quick. They're in before the king. In about verse 17, he says to them, or the men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, say back, O king, our God is able to save us. He will rescue us. Well, that's good, isn't it? The king says, I'm going to throw you into the furnace if you don't bow. And they look back, and one of them, I wish I could have been a fly on the wall. I would not have wanted to be in one of the three, amen. But I would have loved to have seen it from a distance, that one of them says back to the king, our God is able to save us. He will rescue us. Very next verse, verse 18. But even if, he does not, we will not bow. Oh, that's good. Come on, is that good? Yeah. But even if he does not, we will not bow. Did they say that because they had to have plan B? You see, they didn't want to lose face, that maybe God wasn't strong enough. This was the most powerful man in the region at this time, Nebuchadnezzar. He could do what he wanted to do. Maybe God wasn't strong enough, wasn't good enough. Or did they say, even if, because they understood the sovereignty of God in their lives. You see what that, the sovereignty of God, simply put, is that God can do whatever he wants. And they accepted that. You see, the Bible says someday every tongue will confess, every knee will bow. Not just those who believe in him. Someday every knee is going to bow. But right now, we have to decide if we will accept the sovereignty of God in our lives. Will I trust God even if? I watch Christians. I was a pastor for 12 years. As a pastor for 12 years, I watched people come into my church and I watched them leave. They would leave often because their trust in God was only if, not even if. Only if, God, I don't lose my husband from cancer. Only if I don't lose my job. Oh, God, I'll trust in you only if everything works out the way I want it to. Am I stepping on any toes yet? This is a sermon I need to hear. I need to be reminded of. Do I trust God only if, or do I trust him even if? Will I trust him when things don't go my way? And I'll say unto God, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to King Nebuchadnezzar, even if it doesn't go the way I want it to, I will trust in my God. I think we learn only if trust when we're young. Only if trust is like when my little boy, when he was about 4 years old. Now, Rose and Hecla might know him, Curtis. He's huge. He's a junior at the college, and he's about 6 foot. I fed him way too much, Hecla. And he's big kid, but when he was four, I took him to a place called Discovery Zone in San Jose. Okay, when we lived down there, Discovery Zone was like a big McDonald's playland. And parents got to go in too. So I'm in there in this pool of balls, you know, and slides, and we're having a great time. I pick Curtis up then. When we're all done, I put him on my lap. He's about 4 years old, because I'm going to put his shoes back on. And I grab his foot, and Mom's, you know, how flexible they are, right, when they're little. So I grab his foot and I pull it way up by his head, you know. So his foot's way up here, and he's laughing. We're giggling together. We had such a great time. I'm trying to put that little shoe on his foot. He's curling his toes, you know, and I can't get it on very well. I spread my legs just a little too far apart accidentally, though, and I didn't have a good grip, and I dropped him on his head. And he's laying on the ground, and he's looking up at me, and his eyes are huge. He's not laughing anymore. His mouth is big, and he's trying to inhale a bunch of air to cry. I felt terrible. I wanted to pick him up. I wanted to say, Curtis, buddy, I am so sorry, man. I love you. I didn't mean for that to happen. And as I reached down, I want to grab him. You know what he did? He got up, and he ran to Mom. Ah. And do you know what he learned? He learned daddies make mistakes. Yeah. I mean, he didn't sit there and reason it through at age 4. He just realized that sometimes it hurts. Even though it was so fun, daddies make mistakes. And you know what I learned as a Christian? I'm just 47 and I'm still walking this path. But I learned this, that sometimes God does let me drop on my head. Sometimes it hurts. Why? Because I live in a sinful, fallen world, man. And in this world, there'll be problems, and there will be pain, and there will be tragedy, and there will be things that won't work out the way I want them to work out. So will I trust God only if? Will I trust Him even if? Some of you lost your homes, possibly. This is a big enough church for me to say that and say, you know, there's probably some of you in here or you're struggling with it. Will you trust God only if you get to keep your home? Will you trust God only if you don't lose your job? Will you trust Him only if your wife doesn't leave you, your husband doesn't leave you, only if your kids turn out okay, only if? I could go on and on. And too often, we're trusting God only if. And if anything I could do this morning is to challenge you, to encourage you, would you trust God even if? Because I love Steve. I know what he is. I know what he's doing. He's standing up here, and he's trying to share with you what God's word is, that you might trust Him in the challenging, difficult times in life, to trust God even if. Hey, if you got your Bibles, turn them over real quick, and we'll just go real fast with this because I want to get you out of here wishing that I would have preached longer than wishing I'd have shut up. Amen? Okay, Matthew chapter 14. I want to share with you just a little bit about how I think we, God's children, can get this even if kind of trust in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. As you're finding it, let me set the stage for you. Jesus had just fed the 5,000. You know that story, right? Little boy comes along with some bread and some fish, and Jesus multiplies this. He's tired now, just physically tired, wanting to take a little break. And you get down to Matthew 14 at verse 22, and it says this. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowd. After He had dismissed them, He went up on a mountainside by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land. It was buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw Him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Well, Lord, if it's You," Peter replied, "tell me to come to You on the water." "Come here," He said. Peter got down out of the boat, and he walked on the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out His hand and caught him. "You of little faith," He said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped Him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God." What a great story. Let me try to take you there. I was a youth pastor for a while in Klamath Falls, Oregon. I brought kids down to Shasta, Lake Shasta, for a water ski trip. We would do it every year. And I brought them down. We camped along the seashore. I had some crazy youth sponsors. They're just got to be a little crazy. You know, I don't want to hang out with junior high kids and high school kids. No offense. Amen. And they would go with me down to Lake Shasta. We got all the kids to bed one night. Finally, they're all asleep. And about midnight, one of my youth sponsors who owns a boat, and I didn't know much about boating, says, "You want to go for a ride?" I said, "Sure, I'll go for a ride." I noticed all the other boats were using these little lights they put on it, front and back lights, you know, and they were all going real slow. He didn't do either one. We got in the boat, and he just takes off across the lake. Scares me to death. I mean, the bugs are hitting me in the face. We're bouncing along in the dark. I look over. He's going, "Ah," like this. I said, "Greg, you're going to kill us." He goes, "Ah, this is great." Get to the middle of the lake. He turns off the key. We just come to a rest. I thought, my heart stopped beating. Once it stopped beating, then we sat there and we talked. We could see way off in the distance. Are you there with me? You've been on a lake at night. It was dark. Off in the distance, we could see the campfire rings. And it was quiet, but it was eerie. It was eerie because the water's dark. You can't tell what's down there. And I'm sitting there, and that night, you see, because for a water ski trip, talking about Peter walking on the water, that's a great subject, you know. Get it? Water skiing. And anyways, so I talked on that subject. So I said to Greg, what if we look over here and there's this guy standing on the water? Are you with me? Greg says, "I'd get this boat out of here is what I'd do, you know." I say, "Yeah." I mean, it would be scary, wouldn't it? It would be crazy. And these guys are in the boat. The disciples are in the boat. And all of a sudden, there's some guy standing on the water. Now, listen, we got all kinds of theology and deep Bible courses that you can take at William Jessup University. We discuss really tough stuff like, does Adam have a belly button? Adam, the first guy in the Bible, did he have a belly button? That doesn't matter. But anyways, was Jesus bobbing up and down? Have you thought about this? Was he bobbing? Because it says the wind and the waves were against the boat. When Jesus stood in the water, did he bob? I'm not making light of Scripture. Don't think I'm making light of Scripture. I'm trying to take you there. Did Jesus bob up and down on that water? Or was it firm where he stood and the water hit his ankles? I don't know. Why do I bring that up? If you can't picture yourself in that boat, because in just the next 10 minutes, and I'll wrap this up. If you can't picture yourself in that boat, when Jesus calls you, why would you picture yourself at your job when Jesus is calling you to do what's right? In your marriage, at your home, with your friends. I think Jesus puts it so, God puts the word so vivid in some of the stories because we're supposed to remember we're one of the disciples. Amen? We're to be a disciple of Christ now. And these disciples stood in the boat and they watched as Peter steps over. Now, what was he thinking? I think if Jesus had said, "Come here, Peter," I think I'd have been saying, Matthew, why don't you go first, buddy? And if you make it, I am right behind you, you know? But he gets out, and would it be mushy? Have you thought about that? I mean, if it would have been me, I think I'd have been reaching over, poking at that water first. Three quick things, and I totally forgot that I had this thing here. Oh, maybe you've been moving that for me, Josh. Thanks, buddy. You're a good man. Keep up, okay, because I'll forget. Call out to Jesus. You see, I don't know. Some of you might be new here this morning. This might be your first experience even of someone telling you about who Jesus is and what he wants for your life. But he doesn't want you to trust him only if things work out for you. He wants you to trust him even if. And if you've never experienced this even if kind of trust that can take you through tough times, call out to him first. That's what Peter did. Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, would you call me to come to you?" And I know what's happening. Steve stands up here every Sunday and he tries to share with you what's in God's word that you might call out to God because he's waiting to hear you. So call out to him. See if he doesn't answer. And I don't know how he'll answer. Folks, I want you to know I've never heard God's voice audibly. I have talked to people who say they have. And you know what? I would not take that from you. I hope you would check it with God's word. If you say you hear God's voice audibly, you check it with his word, and you check it with other Christians that you know follow after God well. But don't anyone take that from you. But I've not heard him audibly. But I have heard God's voice. When I've been in a group of Christians, and we've been praying together, and someone prays every once in a while, sometimes I'm just wishing they'd wrap that prayer up. You know what I mean? I'm being honest with you. Sometimes, okay, that's long enough, you know? But every once in a while, someone prays, and I go, wow, that was what I needed to hear. That was from God. Those words were from God for me. There's times when I read God's word, and you know what? It doesn't do a whole lot for me. I'm being honest. I look in there, I go, oh, that was nice. You know, so I read a little bit every day, and I go, yeah, that was okay. Then every once in a while, I read something, I go, oh, man, that was for me. So maybe that's how God would speak to you. But you call out to him if you're not sure that that's him standing on the water right now calling you. Second thing, hit it, Josh. Second thing, take a step toward him. Take a step toward him. You see, Peter decided to step out of the boat. And there were 11 other guys that didn't move. I'm so intrigued by that. They watch Peter walking on the water. I've got to believe that if I was in that boat, I want to believe this. I probably wouldn't have been the first one out. I'll admit that. But I really believe I'd have been the second. Because to watch that guy walk on the water and to say, he's heading towards Jesus. Jesus, me too. I want that faith. I want to trust you like that too. You see, guys, what I'm saying to you is that if you look across this church, you probably know somebody sitting on the other side that knows Jesus with an even if kind of trust. In other words, you can look across and say, somebody over there, they lost their husband because of an illness or their wife, but they still follow after God. They trust him even if. You know somebody in this church that maybe lost their home, but they're still hanging in with God because they trust him even if. You're not going to be the first one out of the boat. People have already stepped out of the boat of only if trust. You just need to be the next one. Amen? Good. Three of you are with me. All right. You need to be the next one to step out of that boat. Amen? Otherwise, you'll stay in the boat of only if trust. Well, God, I don't know, man. Only if you make all this work out. I know. Only if this. Only if that. How about we step out? And we trust him even if. Here's the third thing we got to do is we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. What happened to Peter? He was walking on the water, and it says clearly in Scripture, when he saw the wind and the waves, he began to sink. What does that mean but that he took his eyes off of Jesus, right? We're not chameleons, though we try in life, don't we? Jesus said you will serve either God or you will serve mammon, money, the world. You will serve either God or money, but you can't serve both. It's tough for us to look at God and to look at the wind and the waves at the same time. You know what I do? It's too often I'll focus on those wind and the waves. And let me tell you what the wind and the waves are in my life. The wind and the waves is stuff, usually. That's the easiest way to say it, is stuff. Like I'll go out to my car or something and I'll notice the tires are getting bald. And I go, oh, man, I got to buy new tires for that thing. So what do? Maybe you're like me. Oh, man, that's like, well, that's going to be $400. And where am I going to get $400? You know, you say, okay, I got to start saving. I got to figure out how am I going to pay for this. What do? I start looking at the provision instead of the provider. I start looking at the problem instead of a solution. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus is going to miraculously put tires on my car. What I am saying is that when I take my eyes off of what I really need and I start focusing on all the stuff I think I have to have, I get my priorities out of whack, and I find myself sinking. And that could be an issue of debt. That could be an issue of fear. That could be an issue of anxiety. And all of a sudden, I find like Peter, I'm down here going, Lord, save me. How did I get down here? And I think for Peter, it was slow, like it is for us. Because Peter was, all he could get out was, Lord, save me. So it was enough to get that out. If it had been real fast, you know, like jumping into a pool, but Lord, right in. So he's going down, Lord, save me. And isn't that amazing to think how Jesus took his hand and boom, right back up on that water? I bet Peter looked right in the eyes and, man, getting back in that boat. I'm not taking my eyes off of Jesus. To keep our eyes on him, to stay focused. Folks, we can have a trust that's only if, and I'm afraid that only if kind of trust would take us from the church someday, and it would take us from the faith that we have in God. It would lead us astray. It would cause us to walk away if we trust him only if. But if we trust him even if, then we realize we live in a sinful, fallen world, and tough times are going to come, but we'll trust him through it. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow, they were thrown into that furnace. And some of you, you know the story well, but some of you maybe not. And let me close reminding you of what happened. You see, old Nebuchadnezzar heated that furnace 7 times hotter than normal. If you read in Daniel chapter 3, it says that the ropes that bound Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were burned off as the soldiers pushed them into the furnace. And it was so hot that the soldiers who pushed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace, the soldiers died from the heat, having to get so close to it to push them in. That the soldiers died. But the three men stood in the furnace, and when the king looked into a hole, probably where they would throw in more wood, when the king looked in, he said, "Hey, to the chief guard, did not we throw in three men?" And the chief of the guard said, "Yeah, we threw in three." Then the king looks and says, "Then why do I see four? And one looks like the son of the gods." That's what it says, Daniel chapter 3. He looks in and he sees that God provided, that God would take care, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would trust God, even if. And God came to them to carry them through, to save them. Guys, the little boy went out to fly his kite. When he went out to the park to fly the kite, he took with him three rolls of string. He let the kite way up in the air with the first roll, tied on the second roll, tied on the third roll. Kite was way up in the sky. Little clouds and some fog were there. It kind of hid the view of the kite. As an old man walked along, he saw a little boy, looked at the string that went nowhere, and said, "Son, what are you doing?" And the little boy said, "Mister, I'm flying my kite." And the old man looked again. He said, "Son, I don't see any kite up there." You couldn't see it. The string just disappeared. And the old man said, "There's no kite up there, son." And the little boy, he frowned like this, and he said, "Mister, take hold of the string. You can feel it pull. I know with all my heart, because I know Steve, that he's standing up here." And this sounds funny at first, but every Sunday he's flying a kite. And he's just wishing you'd take hold. I hope you will too. You take hold and see if God isn't pulling. If you don't know his love today, if you don't know who he is, if you don't know what God wants to do in your life by trusting, even if, step out of that boat, take hold of that string, see what God would do. Thank you so much for the way we can call ourselves brothers and sisters in Christ, and for loving us at the college. We're going to keep loving you guys, and we'll watch for great things to happen here at First Baptist. Amen? Father, thank you for the joy it's been for me to be able to share. Lord, I pray you continue to strengthen and encourage and bring great wisdom to Steve as he leads, to the elders and the leaders of this congregation, as they try to discern what best is in your will, Father, through your word, through your Holy Spirit. Lord, may we continue to be people who will be gracious and loving towards others. May we, Father, continue to be people where your love will be seen in us as we go about our activities throughout the day. And may you, Lord, bless this church as they continue to follow after you. Thank you for the friendship, the partnership that we have together as William Jessup University and First Baptist Church of Rockland. May together, Lord, we continue to expand your kingdom. In your Son's name, we'll give you all the glory. Amen.